Hello and welcome to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. Today's episode is going to be about how to do B2B sales the right way. I have a company, and since the beginning of this year, we have been hardcore in trying to get more B2B clients, and we have landed a few. So I'll be sharing everything I have learned from this whole experience, and hopefully these tips will help you as well in your business and trying to get to B2B clients. Before we get started, though, I want to say that I want to become more consistent again with these podcasts. If you have been a listener since the beginning, you know that at first I even released every day, then the schedule has been changing quite a bit, but now I'm back to every Monday, so that you can start the week with another Indie Founder episode, and then you can use this to maybe get some inspiration, to get some tips for your business, and you can kind of listen to that along the week. So every Monday you can count on another episode. I'll try to focus more on tips and things that you can actually use in your business, but there will always be a little bit of the indie lifestyle and my thoughts, but I will try to, you know, stay consistent, and I'll try to give you more tips. I also have even some interviews lined up. And by the way, if you are a new listener, there's a lot of interviews. So I would really, really advise for you to go back in the episodes. And there's interviews with Peter Levels. Recently, that I had a really good interview with Elston from Tiny Host. I had a great interview as well with Rob Walling. So really great. And, you know, you can learn a lot from them, as I did. Now, last but not least, if you want to help this podcast, make sure to give it a good review. So if you're on Spotify, Apple, whatever, you can just go there and give it a review, and make sure to share it with your indie maker and entrepreneurial friends. Now let's get started. Every entrepreneur, when they first start their business, they always want to make a B2C business. First of all, let me kind of clarify what is the difference between B2C and B2B. B2C, or business to client, is when you're selling a service or a product to a person, like an individual, someone that is not connected to a company. For instance, Netflix is a B2C product, right? So you sell it, people pay for it, but they pay it for their personal consumption. Another product, like let's say consultancy like Deloitte or something, that's a pure B2B. They serve other companies. But every time, and you probably, if you're an entrepreneur, you've passed by this, like the first ideas that come to your mind when you're thinking about businesses are B2C businesses. You want to do maybe a to-do list, like everyone always wanted to do to-do list. Or, I don't know, I had so many B2C ideas. And even PodSqueeze. It's kind of a B2C. So PodSqueeze has two realms, two types of clients. One are the B2C or B2B that actually exists. So basically, you are serving very small businesses that to the naked eye might even look like customers or persons, you know, like someone that has a podcast and they don't have a company or whatever. But we can also serve these other genre of customers, which are big media companies, companies that produce multiple podcasts. These are our B2B clients. And funny enough, when you start, and I think when we started PodSqueeze, we focused mostly our marketing and our kind of strategy was mostly towards B2C. So we focus on techniques, marketing techniques, like going on forums or SEO or things that are mostly used by B2C companies. But everyone around would always say that B2B is where the money lays, and everyone should just do B2B. And if you go on Reddit or Twitter, a lot of people just kind of say that most entrepreneurs, they choose the B2C, but they are wrong, because B2B is so much easier and makes so much money. So Jean and I, Jean being my co-founder, thought maybe we should try to go a little bit more B2B. How can we kind of find these companies? What type of marketing do we need? What do we need to change to reach these B2B companies? And turns out that it's not that easy as people say. It's a completely different strategy, but we have been investing a lot of months into learning this, and I'll be sharing with you the things that we've learned and the things that actually work. So to get a B2B client, there are a lot of stages, and I'll talk about each one of them. The first stage is finding the leads, finding the people, finding people to talk to. The second stage is doing this first contact, you know, this cold calling, getting to talk with them, getting them to answer. That's not easy. Then we'll go to the demo part. You normally have to demo your product, show it, maybe have a call or two and show how the product works and how the product can benefit that person or that company rather. And next is follow-up, negotiations, and finally you will close the deal. Okay, so let's go by parts and let's go, and I'll give you insights on each one of these stages. The first stage, finding the leads. To be honest, there's not a lot of science here. You first need to know really well who are your target clients. You need to define that. For PodSqueeze, we focus on media companies. So a lot of these were either radio companies, like kind of legacy, old school radio companies or TV companies. And they were focusing more on doing podcasts now. Like a lot of people are doing this transition and they were producing a lot of podcasts. So these were our target leads, the people that we should reach out to. Now, from a big company, there's C-levels, there's employees, there's managers. To whom shall we first reach out to? So what we realize is that going to the C-level right away makes no sense. Makes no sense for two reasons. First of all, it's much harder. You know, they are typically very busy. And second, they don't really know about the operational stuff, right? So you need to find a champion in that company. Someone that will then advocate for your tool or for whatever you are selling. So for us, right, we are selling a tool to help people with the production of podcasts. So we need to find the people in that organization that are doing that, that are writing the show notes, that are doing the clips, or at least that they are managing a team that are doing this. Like someone that is connected, someone that has a problem that we are going to fix. So that's the first thing. You need to identify that. For us, was head of podcasting or a podcaster, a podcasting producer or something like that. But it could be different, of course, for your company, right? So if you are, I don't know, doing a software that will help with sales, right? Let's say a company that now actually we have a similar company like this in our co-working that is using AI agents to use kind of voices to talk with people and do customer support. So maybe you will talk with the head of customer support or head of sales, right? So you need to identify these people. Then you just go on Google, you go on Perplexity, ChatGPT, and you start finding these companies and finding these people. And now we reach the second stage, which is the first contact, right? So now you have a list of 100, 200 people that you want to reach out to, but it's not easy, right? They are very, very busy and they don't know you at all. You are just salesmen, right? They don't have any affiliation to you. This is really tricky. This is probably the hardest part, like to kind of break this barrier. So for each company, for each business, for each market, it will be different. So that's really important to understand. What I'm going to tell you about the things that work for me might not work for you. You just need to try a lot of things and see what works. So for us, what worked, especially here in Portugal, by the way, I can only attest for things here in Portugal because this is where we have succeeded the most, was using WhatsApp. So reaching out through WhatsApp, through a message to them. And we've tried a lot of things, believe me. We've tried sending emails. We had cold emails that we were sending every day. Hundreds of emails did not work. We had like cold calling. Actually, I picked up the phone and I was calling. And to be honest, from this whole like entrepreneurial journey, this has been probably the thing that has brought more anxiety to my life. Calling people and kind of annoying them. And it's so awkward. It's really awkward because they will always ask, hey, how did you get my phone number? Sometimes they just say, hey, shoot me an email, and you know that they will ignore. So it did not work for us. Like cold calling did not work for us. We also tried LinkedIn. We tried a lot of email. We tried to subscribe to the LinkedIn Premium or whatever it's called. Did not work. What worked for us was getting these people's phone number and shooting them a WhatsApp message. Now, there are multiple ways how you can get this phone number. For us, was using a tool called Full InReach. It's amazing. It's like black magic. I don't know how it works. You just put the LinkedIn profile and you'll get their phone numbers, and most of the time they're accurate. So that's really, really good. And I just start shooting messages, you know, and getting the right message is tricky, right? It requires a little bit of practice. And I guess my guidelines are to be first nice and personalized. I always start with, hey, person's name. Then I say, how are you? My name is Tiago. I am from PodSqueeze. It's a tool that does X, Y, and Z. And do you think this can be relevant for your business? Something like that. We start with this. And so very to the point, polite, personalized. Most people will not get back to you in your first message. So I normally send three messages. So the first day I send this message introducing myself. The second day, right away, the next day, I just say, hey, did you get a chance to read my last message? Just that, very simple. And sometimes I will send again another message like this. And the last message is the kiss chef, or chef kiss, the chef kiss, that's how you say it, which is something in the lines of, hey, I can see that optimizing your podcasting promotion is not in your highest priorities right now. If that changes in the future, feel free to reach out to me or my team. Something a little bit more cold, a little bit more distant, something that creates a certain degree of FOMO, works really well. A lot of times, people will answer to me right away. It's crazy. So they might have been 3-4 days without answering me, but then I send that message, and in that precise moment, they answer. Because what normally people do, and you probably have done the same, I have surely done the same, I get one of these messages, and I'm so busy. I have so many things, and I don't really have the energy to really get into that. So I'll just say, okay, let's move it to the back of you know, my to-do list, and I'll eventually get to there. When they send this message that is kind of closing this relationship, saying, hey, okay, your time is over. We cannot, you know, do this if you don't answer right now, a lot of them will answer. So this is really good. This works really well. In Portugal, it worked really, really well. And the next step is scheduling a demo. So they normally say, hey, cool, I'm interested. And I just say, here's my Calendly. Let's schedule 30 minutes and I'll show how this can be adapted to your work. I'll show you the tool and I'll give you a free demo as well. So always promising, free demo, I'll give you the tool. Awesome. So when they say yes, we schedule. I send the Calendly. Sometimes you need to do a little bit of follow-up still because they're busy, right? So they'll say, right, I will schedule it. But then they don't. So the next day you say, hey, did you get the chance? So you need to really kind of forget or lose that shame, or because a lot of people, and my co-founder is a bit like this, he will say, I don't want to feel that I'm annoying. I don't want to feel that. And I do feel a little bit that I'm being annoying to these people, that I'm being too intrusive. But normally they will not say anything. Maybe they'll feel a little bit annoying, but it works and they'll be happy. And a lot of times they will be kind of thanking me and saying, hey, thank you so much. It's funny because we feel that we're being very annoying, that we are being too persuasive, but in their perspective, they are the ones that are failing. They are the ones that are not getting back to you. At least this, again, it changes for market, it changes for company. This is what I think people feel mostly here in Portugal. Maybe it's connected to the culture. We haven't been able to replicate this in other markets. So maybe in another episode along the line, I will give you other tips for other markets. But this is mostly for Portugal. You need to find your way. But yeah, so then you get your demo. The demo is straightforward. You just go, you say hi, you are nice, you show the tool. And you'll, the more demos you do, you'll start understanding what these clients want to see. And you start getting better at it. And you just answer their questions. And it's kind of a presentation, something that you should maybe practice a little bit, but you'll get better at it. The point is that you just need to show the tool, right? So here is where a lot of salesmen, and I've seen a lot of salesmen that are really good, and they will try to promise the world to you. They'll say, yes, well, I don't know if they will say, but will this, for instance, also evaluate my podcasts, and the tool doesn't do this, but I will say, no, but I will introduce that just for you, or I don't know. There's some kind of salesman that will go above and beyond. In my perspective, what we normally do is we just show the tool and then we collect feedback. And if they say, it would be nice to have this, what we normally say is, if we don't have that, will that be a deal breaker? And most of them will say no. And this is a great way for you to understand what they really need, right? So you do the demo and either they love it and or they like it and they see themselves using it, or they don't, right? If they don't, it's good to collect feedback to try to understand, but maybe you just lost that client. Maybe they're not interested. Maybe you'll need to find another lead. But if they did like it, then you'll go to the next step, which is follow-up and negotiations. Now, this is very long. This takes a lot of time. This is very different than B2C. In B2C, you know, mostly you don't have demos, but they will just see the product and buy it. B2B is long. Like, a lot of our customers and that are now our customers took us at least 3 months of negotiations to land the deal, right? So this will take a lot of time, okay? Now, one thing that is important, actually, that let me just go back to the first reach out. Because I said that I was using WhatsApp, and that works really well. But there's one more thing that also worked that I want to share with you, which were conferences. So in the beginning of this year, we went to a conference in Athens. It's called Radio Days, a conference just about radio. And funny enough, it's a place where a lot of Portuguese people from all these companies also go. So this was an awesome opportunity to meet them, to be there in a different context, a context where they were there in kind of workation, right? In the mixture of vacation and work. So we would go with, you know, to dinners with them, and we became kind of friends, and that really helped. That helped to kind of break the ice, and it was really good because they saw us as humans and not as only, you know, annoying salesmen. So that was actually really, really important. And I think conferences and meeting people face to face is quite important. So even when you're doing the demo, even when you're doing these messages, you need to kind of establish a relationship with these people, right? So you need to become their friends somehow. Obviously, not best friends. Maybe some of them will become your best friends, but you need to be nice. You need to also do not pretend, be yourself somehow. I think that's also important, like in any other relationship, right? So that's important. And connecting with them. And then in these industries, like the industry is not so big, especially in Portugal. So they all know each other. That's really important. If you make a good impression with one, then it will be easier for you to get to the next client. But if you make a bad impression, then obviously it will be harder. Now, the follow-up is also really important and goes back to just being annoying. It goes back to keep them in check and asking them, hey, okay, so what are the next steps? They will often first ask you for your pricing, and you'll kind of come up with a pricing. And this is something that, to be honest, we haven't really figured it out yet. And we made huge mistakes, because if you're spending 3 months, 6 months to close a deal, you know, it must be a good deal, right? You cannot just charge $100, $200, $300 for this. You need to charge thousands of dollars for this. And that's something that we were not very good at. Something that we were a bit shy, because we came with this mentality of the B2C. So we're a bit shy to actually charge the big bucks. Because sometimes, and some of these clients, they'll just try to negotiate you down. They'll say like, can you make a discount? They do this. So you need to be very assertive and think about this as an enterprise price. You know, even if you are selling somehow the same service that you are selling to the B2C, is not really the same service, right? Because the time that these bigger clients will need from you, it's much higher. Maybe you'll need to do more demos. You need, if they have a question, if they have feedback, if they have a problem, you need to be available. So that comes with a price. So for my advice would be, think of a good, you know, price, a good enterprise price that makes sense, that kind of pays off, and think about that ahead, you know, before doing the presentation. We didn't do that, and that was a mistake, because then we're just showing the B2C prices for them, and, you know, we end up maybe losing some money because of that. You live, you learn. Okay, so you start the follow-up negotiations and they finally agree. And, you know, up to this point, you have been talking mostly with that champion, right? That first lead, the person that will be using the tool. That person is going to defend the tool, advocate for the tool to their bosses. Because it's a big company, right? It's not, you're not selling to a one, two-man operation. You're selling to companies that might have 2,000, 3,000 employees that have multiple departments. So this champion, this person will need to talk with their boss. Now, the same struggle you had to talk to this person, they will have to talk to their boss because the boss is also busy. So again, you need to be a bit persuasive, right? So they start talking and they don't get back to you in 1 week or 2 weeks. You send the message, hey, X, like, were you able to speak with your boss? And they were like, yeah, I'm sorry, I've been busy, I've been on holiday, there's maternity leave. Okay, cool, no problem. Next week, hey, were you able to? Is there something we can do? Maybe, sometimes I even said, like, maybe shall we schedule a meeting with your boss? So that we can all talk together. So you need to be a bit persuasive, but still polite. So it's something, it's like, it's a thin line you need to walk on. But eventually, if everything goes well, you start getting a message from the financial department. Because that's another thing, right? So it needs to be approved by the boss. But the department that is making the payment is a different department, is the financial department. So this department doesn't know anything about the conversations you had with the boss or with the champion, right? And this is something that, by the way, made me realize that the pricing is not that important, because the person that decides that will be using the tool is not the person that will be paying for the tool, right? So sure, you cannot come with an absurd amount of, you know, money, but the person that will be using the tool, they don't really care about the price too much. It's not their department, right? Maybe the C-level will be care about the price. Maybe the financial department will be caring about the price, but not so much the person that will actually be using the tool. Anyways, from our experience, this whole process, even when the C-level, so the moment the C-level approves it, you have the sale done. You've done it. Congratulations. But you still don't have the money. So now it goes back to the financial department. And this whole thing, it's a bit tricky, right? Because after the demo, what I've normally done is that I give a free trial, right, to the champion. The champion needs to love the tool, so I give a free trial. But then the free trial ends, right? This is, by the way, something that you need to use, right? Hey, you have a free trial, and I'll give you the free trial for 2 weeks. Is that enough? Yes, it's enough. Maybe not. You need to put that pressure. Always keep schedules. Always keep deadlines. Otherwise, things will just stay there forever. So, hey, 2 weeks, you have this free tool that you can test. And then they are getting close to the 2 weeks. Hey, have you tested or not? Okay, great. Awesome. You liked it. Cool. You didn't like it. You need one more day, two more days. Perfect. Okay, so that's what you do. But what happened to us that even after they decided that they liked, it was taking so long for them to be able to talk with the financial department that we extended their trial. We just wanted to make sure that they were hooked up, that they were using the tool. So eventually, you'll get the money in your bank account. You'll be happy. Now, does this mean that this is the end of the journey? No. Now it starts the customer happiness. You need to make sure that they are using the tool. You need to make sure that they're happy with the tool, right? So what a lot of these companies will do is that they will go through this whole process, but then they start using the tool, and because there's, I don't know, a lot of things going on and they need to take the time to explain how the tool works to their, you know, teammates, they won't do it and they will stop using the tool because they don't care. Again, the person using the tool is not the person paying for the tool in those companies. So what I normally do is I have their contacts and I reach out to them. If there's a new release, if there's a new feature, I say, hey, we just released this new feature. You might like it. Hey, is everything going on? Like, what? Everything good with the tool? After 3 months, 4 months, let's schedule a call so that I can collect your feedback and see if there's something we can do to improve. Now, sometimes, again, and this is something I'm still learning, I feel that I am a bit annoying. I don't know. I cannot shake this feeling that I'm just taking a lot of their time. But as long as they keep asking for it, as long as they didn't say, hey, please send me less messages, I will just continue. So that's my approach. Again, maybe might not be the best one. There's still a lot of things to learn, but so far so good. So I keep messaging them from time to time. I'm not super annoying. I don't expect an answer every time, but I always ask them as well, hey, is it okay if I send you some feature releases? Is it okay if sometimes I ask you for feedback? And they say yes. So in the end, you just need to be humane, and they need to understand that it's your business, but as well that you want to make sure that they are using the tool and taking the most out of it, and they are taking value out of it. And that's the B2B. That's how B2B has been working. So for us here in Portugal, we have closed already the top media companies. Like, the top media companies are now using PodSqueeze to produce their podcast, which is amazing. You know, it's companies that I grew up seeing and admiring, and companies that, you know, have a huge impact in the country. Now they are using my tool, and that's awesome. That makes me really, really happy. And there's still other deals going on. By the way, I'm still doing follow-ups. I'm still doing all of this stuff. Now, for the future, what I need to work on is how can I replicate this to other markets? In Portugal, it's easier because I'm Portuguese. I don't know. I think there's definitely some advantage to this, you know, being able to speak the language, knowing the culture. It's much harder to do the same in other countries, even within Europe. It's harder. Now, I need to go to more conferences for sure. We need to still keep pushing and see how we can get into this first reach, this first contact. But so far, that's what I've learned. I hope this was useful for you. I hope you are able to use this as well in your own company, in your own projects. And once you are able to land B2B and have like a proper structure to do it, yeah, you'll be making much more money, much more money. You'll be closing deals that, you know, it would take you months or even years of B2C to achieve. So it's incredible. It's really, really great. Once again, if you like this episode and if you think it's useful, make sure to give it a review, share it with your indie hacker friends. And if you have any questions, if you want to talk with me, just say hi. My handle on Twitter is WBTiago. It's funny because every time I do one of these episodes, a few people will come and just shoot me a message, and I love that. So shoot me a message at WBETiago. That's my handle on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Just shoot me a DM. I will answer you. If you have any questions, anything I can help you with. Yeah, I love to meet other entrepreneurs, and with whatever, you know, if I can help, I will surely do that. So yeah, shoot me a message. This was another Indie Founder episode. See you next Monday.